to the Tales from Longbox podcast. This is episode 302. Spotlight on Marvel Comics, Jean Grey number one, circa 2017. I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard, but we don't need to even say that because there was no prior to 2017 version of this book.
True. Now that I think about it, but hey, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
It's all there.
And I am Murray Fox. Yeah, this is the only Jean Grey book.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. It's like I'm just.
I think
so
she
used
did a miniseries once.
I'm so used to them recycling. I just assumed this was another volume. You know.
They never did a miniseries. She's co-starred. She did the. Mm-hmm.
Did they do like a Cyclops and?
Yeah, the one in the future where they would. I don't remember who was drawn by, but he did weird noses.
Yeah.
He did these Jughead looking noses. With
yeah,
the, you
I
know,
used
kind
to
of
have that. Yeah, I remember that. Back when I
pointed
bought
everything. They were like rectangular noses on everyone.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this
they went
is.
To,
oh, sorry.
They went to the future to save young Nathan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that. I had that series one time.
The Sisters of Perpetual Time Displacement or something?
Yeah.
Mm.
I thought it was good at the time. I'm not sure if I would now, but hey, you know, you never know.
Anyhow, sorry.
I was just going to say this. We're continuing our coverage of the resurrection of mutants in the Marvel Universe. This is another number one. A solo book with, as aptly titled, Jean Grey. The same Jean Grey that is in X-Men Blue as a leader. So, yeah, apparently they thought she needed her own title. So
she's a leader, really?
Mm. Yeah, she's a leader of the Blue team. Which
she's a maniac.
It's kind of weird because, really, they just like... Okay, we'll let you be leader. I mean, and I assume Cyclops, his deal's like, okay, I was leader all this time, and look what happened. You know, the older me. So I don't want to be leader because I'm a screw up, and I'm sure that's what they've decided. But I don't know. It just seems like almost pandering to women. It's just my opinion. The way that book, the first book was.
Send all letters to Kara Mosby.
No. I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve to be leader. I'm saying she didn't take leadership. It seemed to me, this is just the way I see it, okay, that they just let her be leader. Not that they're not following her.
Oh,
you know what
did
I'm
the
saying?
Men let the girl be the leader. Okay, got it.
You know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with it. And she's doing great so far, but it just seems like they just like, you know, the planetary chance machine, and she got the one that got hit in the head. Vague Legion reference for a drink.
I like the logo with it in the Y there. It has the, mm-hmm. the old Phoenix symbol
in
there.
Oh, I didn't notice that till just now.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool. Anyway, and then... And of course, they put the Phoenix on the cover because you can't. Yep. As you see, I'm moving on from your political rant there.
Well, I didn't think it was political, but you know, whatever. That's just the way I see it. Fine.
Lock her up.
Okay. Totally taking it off completely out of context. I think maybe I don't know. It's not. I'm not explaining it very well, but that's fine.
I think what you're trying to say is that it feels like you said, I think that your planetary chance machine analogy was more on point with where you initially appeared to be going with it, where they just rolled they rolled a 20-sided dice and she got picked. So I totally got that. I was just picking on you, Chris.
No, I know. But I mean, the difference being is, and it's because Kitty is a character I've known forever, and her taking leadership just seemed natural to me. And in her case, it didn't seem that way, maybe because this is the younger one and I don't have an established history at least personally, with this character.
Well, she is the first X.
You have an established history with the older Jean Grey. I want to hear about that.
Oh, well, okay. She's Dark Phoenix. I didn't even know she was dead again until we started talking about these.
Well, Jean Grey was the first X-Men. She was the first one recruited by Professor X. She is arguably the most powerful of the X-Men in any incarnation.
And more powerful than Iceman? Come on.
I know, right? More powerful than Maggot? Okay. It's hard to believe. More powerful than Angel, who can fly?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
Flying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love that power.
That's like his only
I don't want power. The wings. I just want to fly. No wings.
No wings, huh? Okay.
Nope.
Gotcha. No. What about... So no Linda McCartney and...
No.
No, none of that crap.
Okay.
No.
All right. So we got this awesome cover by Yarden. I'm sure I'll get that name in a moment here, who that actually is. But it's got
Jean Grey. It is a good cover.
Uh-huh. And she appears to be, I don't know, almost looks like she's running. But I'm sure she's actually flying away from the Phoenix entity who is in the background behind her, and the claws out. And it's really nice, that drawing of the Phoenix, I must say.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And again, continuing at least the Resurrection books thing with putting the main character up in the corner, the top corner of the book. This time they moved it to the upper left, but again, wasted a lot of cover space with that blanking out the bottom, the opposite corner of the deck. So,
yeah.
But it is beautiful, and she's got her red hair, of course, but it's short. And normally we see Jean Grey with long red hair. That's been one of her, I would say, visual cues, is the long red hair.
Yeah, she got it cut off and banged. And
that's right. She did get banged, didn't she? Mm-hmm. Right. Where's their hair?
Not many people can pull that look off.
But the fictional cartoon comic book characters can.
Maybe. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
At this cover, actually, it was David Yarden who did the cover. And apparently there's a Dave Cockrum cover out there somewhere. Okay. That I'd like to see.
How?
From Beyond the Grave.
He must have took one of his own deals and fixed it. All right, I'm looking for those now.
So. Fixed it. Right.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. Made it look like it was new.
Chris, you're just
dude.
Who put a woman in charge of this team? Oh, now they're fixing Dave Cockrum's artwork. Oh,
I bet it was a woman who did that.
Oh, good lord.
And this is written by Dennis Hopeless. This is drawn by Victor Ibanez. The colorist was J. David Ramos, whatever. Colored, lettered by VC's Travis Nanum. It was edited by Daniel Ketchum. It's down there below the Jean Grey.
Oh, way down there. Yeah.
Way down there. Editors. Whatever. So previously in X-Men, Rip from the past, along with the four other original students of Charles Xavier, Jean Grey and her fellow X-Men struggle to find their place in the present while using their mutant abilities for good. And we have this really cool, I like this drawing here, that where she's dancing with the headphones on. They're almost retro looking headphones, but they're corded. They got the cord coming off of them. And there's LPs flying all around her as opposed to discs or CDs or digital.
I know, because she's from the past.
She is from the past. They haven't really established like when they've reset that past for. Obviously, you know, old-timey guys like us think the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
They were hep cats. They were cool. She was one happening babe chick.
Yep.
And we go to page one. She's slurping noodles on Jean Grey. She says to herself, "Yeah, no, not that Jean Grey. No Phoenix Force here." And we get the shot of her as Phoenix, not as Dark Phoenix, but as Phoenix when Jean Grey first transformed with the green and yellow outfit with the really long belt sash thing around it.
Yeah, that was the 70s, 80s. Maybe it must have been 80s.
Late 70s, early 80s, yeah. Because Dark Phoenix saga was, 84, 85, so.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that. So, and she's still slurping noodles. I never got possessed by an intergalactic firebird or received the associated space god power up, which means I never went all crazy Dark Phoenix, never destroyed a planet, never tried to murder my friends. And now we see Dark Phoenix holding the planet Earth above her head.
Yeah.
She's got the red and orange and gold outfit on.
Mm-hmm.
All uncanny X-Men at her feet. Looking deed. Really deed.
Mm-hmm.
Miss from that collective. Nobody, I guess. All right. Because Kitty wasn't a member yet. All right. And... Ooh. Now we get the obligatory ripoff of the George Perez holding Superman holding Supergirl panel.
Yeah. I think they call that an homage, though, don't they?
We'll give him that.
Okay.
I guess. Basically, what we're getting here is a recap of all the original Jean Grey stuff, so she can say she's not this person, she's not this person, she's not this person over and over again.
Right.
And they show her dead in Cyclops' arms, and the rest of the X-Men all crying.
I found the Dave Cockrum cover.
Well, was he holding her like that on the Cockrum cover?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the Jean Grey number one Cockrum cover.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking of when...
No, that was
important, so.
Yeah, they did, she did do that. He did do that in that, so.
All right. So then she's continuing to eat the Asian food. I don't know what that rolled up thing is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not a, what's that horrible thing? Not squid.
Unagi?
Shrimp. It's not a shrimp.
No. It looks like okay. Probably a sushi roll or something.
But it's coming from the bowl.
I don't know. It's all mixed in.
It is all mixed in. So, pretty okay with not being that Jean Grey, frankly. Nope, not me either. When he should, they into the mind of Cyclops when he was screwing around with Emma Frost in his head, not physically, and they got confronted by the original Jean Grey again in that god awful black outfit that she wore for a while during the Morrison run. God, I hated that outfit.
Yeah, that is nasty looking, I have to admit.
Hated it then, and I really hate this panel of it. Anyhow, so basically she's bemoaning the fact that now everyone's always going to associate her with the original Jean Grey. And just to take an aside here, she's constantly reminding young Cyclops that he's not old Cyclops, so that's kind of ironic that she's sitting here whining about how people keep thinking she's the original Jean Grey. But, And it wakes her up at nights, all cold, sweaty. And her shadow will probably always stretch further than mine, but maybe that's cool. Maybe I can learn from her mistakes. Maybe I can be the happy Jean. I'm still this Jean Grey, mostly. The kid, the Jean Grey who's still feeling things out. But thanks to time travel and other crazy science fiction run amok, and get that cool panel of the original five X-Men again. We now are in the present where they're using phones and stuff to take pictures. My fellow original X-Men and I are trapped here in the future. I love these guys to death, but they're still guys. Imagine sharing an apartment with four filthy weirdo brothers. Now give them superpowers and time displacement and emotional trauma. So, yeah, that's why Pickles and I are having ramen brunch in Kyoto. And Pickles from the all-new X-Men series, when they were when they were hard traveling heroes in a van that was bigger on the inside than on the outside. And they had Kid Apocalypse and that ID chick and X-23 were hanging out with them as well. And they were going around the country solving crimes. And if it wasn't for those kids, I would have gotten away with it. Scenarios. And beating up.
So where'd little Pickles come from? Is he like a nightcrawler?
Yeah, he is like a nightcrawler thing.
Maybe nightcrawler.
I don't remember if they actually ever gave his origin. He was popping around when they at the X Mansion or the X School for a while when it was when Wolverine was running the school for a short time.
Yeah, there. And when Nightcrawler came back in that run that they did, they showed up. A bunch of them showed up too.
Is that right? When they resurrected him for the umpteenth time?
Okay. Yeah, I remember because I didn't even know he was dead until they said they were going to bring him back, and I read a couple of those. I don't know, maybe five or six of those.
But issues. Pickles is a teleporting demon vamp thingy. Makes brunching with him awesome. Delicious noodles, gorgeous view, and all the peace and quiet that I can handle. And again, we get a nice little Kyoto quiet street where straight out of a travelogue or a PBS travel food show.
Or a Google Maps.
Or Google Maps. More likely that, actually.
That could probably happen, yeah.
And then her lunch is rudely interrupted by the wrecking crew, who seem to be popping up freaking everywhere lately in the Marvel Universe, if you don't mind my saying so, which you guys probably couldn't care less about, but I always loved the wrecking crew.
They were all
kind of fun.
It seems like I came into an older book I was reading and kind of got their history a little bit.
They were powered up by, I want to say, the Enchantress is my memory of them. Yeah, anyhow, so they're all like these super strong idiots who like to rob and pillage and be lackeys all over the place. And for a while they're not pile driver, the guy with the Thunderball, I think his name is, the black guy. He was trying to be a good guy, but I don't think it didn't stick.
Yeah. Thunderbolts, right? I think he was in a Thunderbolts, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, really, really, really brief reboot with the Hood was leading them.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Let me see. So they're trying to rob an armored car, it looks like, and it's bouncing them around, and she uses her telekinesis to stop the whole process. And okay, so these guys are the wrecking crew. Looks like they were wrecking an armored truck. Looks like they were wrecking an armored truck robbery.
Robbery,
yes.
I don't know that they were wrecking the robbery. I think they were causing the robbery.
Kind of a weird paragraph. That's why I read it twice. I was like, why did we get that wrong? Here in Kyoto, because the universe hates me. So she wants to get off in some place where nothing's going to happen, and of course, as with most superheroes, they cannot have any downtime.
No.
Mm-hmm. And pile drivers, I think that's his name, the guy who wears white, the wrecking crew guy who wears white. Let's pull a job in an exotic place. Someplace exotic, he says. No soups in Japan, he says. It'll be great. Hey, man. Take this chick over. I'll take this chick over Spider-Man and two dozen Avengers any day of the week. Will you two please shut up and focus? I'd like to make it out of here with our haul, if at all possible. And she telekinesis his ass up in the air. She's a pretty powerful telekinetic, apparently.
Yeah, it seems like she's a lot more powerful. This version is a lot more powerful telekinetic than the original one.
Yeah, they've upped the power set for these five past their adult counterparts. Problem with these guys is that they're super strong and super invulnerable, and if you're new to supervillain threat assessment, that means they're really tough to KO. I called home, the Blackbird is in the air, my team is en route. All I have to do is stall for a few minutes, which, one Wrecker Man, I could stall like a boss. Two, sure, why not? And in the background, Pickles is eating Pocky Sticks. Love me some Pocky Sticks.
They are good.
They are good. Damn, they had some at Costco the other day. They were giving them out as a sample.
Okay.
I made the rounds around that table like two or three times.
It's just like, I just need to make sure. One more time.
Okay. Yeah, they were. Ooh, no, one more time. Gotta try that again. So, as with most superhero battles, she is wrecking property and taking names, but she feels sorry about it. She apologizes to them, and while she's distracted apologizing, the Wrecking Crew guys that she had suspended in the air aren't. And he comes falling down, ka-thunk. And he says, this is friggin' clown shoes. I like that. It's friggin' clown shoes.
I'm going to work that in.
That's not, you know what? I think I'm going to as well. It's going to become a catchphrase.
Yep, working into my daily. My daily speaking.
This physical therapy is friggin' clown shoes.
That's right.
All right. And she's saying, I'll totally come and pay for whatever damages after I just have to deal with, I am through getting chumped by one teenage girl. And pile driver throws a car at her. Looks like an SUV.
That is so not gentlemanly like at all.
No. She's a superhero. What does he care?
Yep.
She uses her telekinesis to bounce the van, and it goes crashing into another store. Wrecking lots of stuff. And and Jean Grey's like, holy crap, I'm coming. Please be okay. Thunderball, this guy really kind of posing kind of gay in that panel, if you don't mind my saying. Anyhow, he's saying, see there, Thunderball, problem solved. Soups are so predictable. You're going to stand there and pretend you did that on purpose as Thunderball. God, I hate the both of you. Can we please just grab our haul and bounce before Girly comes back out? Girly? No. And she takes their haul and plants it on top of a... Oh, that's pretty funny, actually. And it just sits there. It's almost like a silent panel for a second. They stare at the truck. The money's raining down on them. And he's all, should have seen that coming.
Yeah. So basically,
they got punked. Because they couldn't keep their big gap shut. Okay. And so now, she's just going to let the bad guys escape because she's worried about the civilians that might have been hurt in the middle of the fight. And she goes into the store that she threw the car into. Let's not say it happened any other way than that. And the thing is falling down on her and... She's trying to locate the woman that she knows is in there somewhere, and she sees her with her. I don't know how she's doing that. What is it, like echo sense? Is she like a bat now?
She is using her telepathy. She's like searching for like brainwaves.
Dude, she's touching brainwaves. Her head. She's using her telepathy. Come on.
But her eyebrows aren't raised.
Oh, I don't know what I was thinking.
This is Marvel telepathy. No eyebrows needed.
Oh. And they have a lot of telepaths, so they just touch their heads and boom.
That's right.
Didn't in the cartoon, didn't when Jean Grey did her thing, weren't there like those little rings that came out of her head?
Yeah. The standard animation.
Yeah. So she finds the woman. She's talking to her in English as this poor little Japanese woman is huddled underneath her counter, scared out of her wits. I know that was a scary scene out there, but I'm the good guy. Trust me, says Gene.
That right there is the thing that made me not really care for this. It's like, why? I mean, I know we need to, they're trying to do damage control on the rep, but I don't know. Letting the bad guys go is, what she should have done is taken the fight completely out of that area. So this wouldn't happen, but she's still new. So.
Well, let's assume that this fight has gone on for about 30 seconds at this point.
Okay, I'll go for that.
Not a lot. not a lot of time for her to okay, you guys, hold on, let's move this out into the middle of the rice paddies or something like that.
Okay, I got you.
All right, so she's telling her, hey, only superheroes in Green Bay Packers wear green and yellow, which means absolutely nothing to the woman because she speaks Japanese and Jean Grey is talking English to her. So she uses her telepathy and reaches into the woman's head to plant happy thoughts of unicorns and rainbows and creepy-looking butterfly guys. And it scares the pajesus out of her, out of the Japanese woman.
I think it's Jean Grey's face that's scaring her. That's one scary, happy face.
Oh, with the halo over her head?
The halo and the teeth and the squinty O. Yeah.
Yeah, scary white woman!
I think there's probably some cute and fuzzy bunnies in there, too, somewhere.
Yeah, well, remember, in those anime things, anything could be... can kill you. You know, if you watch enough Pokemon, you see that some of the happiest creatures are some of the deadliest.
Yeah, sure.
So, it would seem that unicorns and rainbows are horrifying when projected directly into your brain. Yeah, well, I would say so.
It's one of those things.
Which makes a lot of sense when you spell it all the way out. Maybe go the other way. Lean into horror show. So
She
lots of zombie, flesh-eating, creepy-looking critters into the woman's head, and the woman takes off. Because before, she was still just sitting there screaming and huddled in the corner, and when she put those pictures in her head, the woman takes off.
She's scared enough to leave.
And then the roof comes crunking in on her. Who? And Harush. Take a drink. And hey, well, you get the fight's over, says Wrecker. Call the meat wagon. Wrecker, Soup was just a kid, says Pile Driver, or whatever his name is. Super Ball guy. Yeah, an idiot kid, says the Wrecker. Messing with us was dumb enough. You go running off into a collapsing building. That's begging to get yourself buried. What do you want from me, Thunder? Oh, he's thinking, why can't I remember his name's Thunderball? I even like that movie. That was the breaks. Exactly. So wipe those big boy tears and let's finish the job. Keep barking like that, Pile Driver. I'll have to come wipe you off the side of the... And Jean Grey has telekinetically thrown a car into the bank truck, which Thunderball had climbed up the... I guess he climbed up there or jumped up there or something like that and is throwing the bags of money out of the truck to them. And she's creating more property damage. And now she's beating the crap out of her. And that's right, Girly, survive! Survive!
Okay.
And now she's ticked off. And she is telekineticing their asses all over the place. And she's saying, you reckless idiots could have killed that girl. So you could have that stupid stolen money. A whole lot of money, says Pile Driver. And that pisses her off even more. But then she hears a voice in her head. Oof, just brutal. You're a beast when you're pissed off. And she flips her head around. What? Nothing. Give him hell, Jay. Who's talking to me right now? Who keeps... Oh, to hell with this, says Pile Driver, and he runs off with his bags of cash. And she goes running after him. Crap. You're psychic, you idiot. You hear rando voices all the time. Ignore it. Head in the game. And she's chasing after him. She's in a parking lot now. Listen, Hacksaw, or whatever your name is. See, she can't remember it, so I'm forgiven. We've got a couple of options for how I find you in here. I could TK slide all the cars out of the way, and I hope you're not hiding between any of them. I could telepath into your nugget, see what you're seeing, and go there. Or I could just...
Why don't she just mind blast the hell out of them until they're unconscious? And...
I don't know why she doesn't migraine them from the get-go.
Oh.
And then she creates more property damage. Look at her wrecking cars here. Good lord.
Yep.
For somebody who's so concerned about it, she's... creating a bigger mess than she does.
Yeah, it's doing a shitty job.
And the voice comes back. Nice, Jean. Confidence looks good on you. You know what? She says, I've had just about enough. And she slowly turns around. No, she says. And the Phoenix Force is in her face. Jean Grey. Is Jean Grey? And yet somehow you think you can sidestep. You think you can escape. Trust me when I tell you, you cannot. And she says, no! And Pile Driver says, who in the hell is she talking to? He does not see any of it. All she sees is her yammering to herself with his bag of yen. And he says, well, whatever. Give Torch the hell with the mouth. I'm not her, she says. I'm not that Jean Grey. This cannot be. And he smacks her in the head with a bag of coins or money. And he says, giddy up, girly. They keep calling her girly. Didn't he kind of gather that pisses her off?
Mm-hmm. Don't think they care.
And she wakes up. And she's happy faces in front of her. Bobby Drake and Scott Summers. That would be Iceman, Uniced, and...
her second. Lover.
Lover! How do you feel? Are you lightheaded at all? Dizzy? Don't sit up. You might still be concussed. And that's Cyclops being pragmatic. Just relax, Scott. She's not concussed. She's clearly okay. Just like I told you she'd be, says Angel. Took a little bonk to the head is all. Happens to the best of us. Sorry to say the Wrecking Crew got away while you were out, Jeannie. But we'll nab him next time. Well, everyone, please shut up. Jean, talk to me. Are you okay? What's going on? And Scott's in her face, waving his hand there. And we get a picture of her falling into the Phoenix's gullet, like to a baby bird. And she whispers. And next, definitely not okay. And then we get a next pick. We get a next issue cover shot, which has three other characters along with her who have been possessed with the Phoenix Force.
That's Hope, isn't it? Yeah.
That's Hope back there, who we haven't seen in quite some time. And Quentin Quire, who's also in Generation X book right now. And also, he's in the current issues of Mighty Thor, because they are dealing with Phoenix Force over there as well. And really? Rachel Summers, and Rachel Summers and her Prestige outfit on the left.
Oh, that's so bad. That's such a dumb outfit.
Yeah, it is.
It kind of is. Way too superhero-y for X-Men. And they're putting together a jigsaw puzzle with the Phoenix Force in front of them. It's actually a really nice cover, to be honest.
That cover is kind of cool. I like the guy's art.
Yarden?
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, and it's available in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Interesting.
Yeah, they're...
They're powering these out. I mean, X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue have been coming out bi-weekly. Like the, they got a clue from all the great sales over at DC lately.
Yeah, they do that pretty often, don't they? I mean, every 2 weeks is. I like that. I wish that Marvel would reduce their price, like, DC did back to $2.99, and still have it come out, you know, every other week. I'd probably get all more of them, but you know, what are you gonna do?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out that out myself. Anyhow, I thought this issue had some good moments. I thought it had some awkward dialogue, not usual for Dennis Hope, at least from a fan. I thought that was not quite his best. But he used the Wrecking Crew, for Christ's sake. Love the Wrecking Crew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wrecking Crew, they're definitely a blast from the past there.
I I am curious how they're going to get make this a an ongoing without it just falling into just being a another X-Men book.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things. So we'll see. I need to check out the latest. I'm like behind on Weapon X, but we'll see. I need to make a folder and put all that stuff in it so I can keep track.
Uh-huh. No opinion, Murray?
No, I liked it. I thought it was well illustrated. Jean seemed a little cranky for me. She seemed a little grumpy this issue, but
yeah, that's kind of not her character either. So, but I don't know.
This isn't that Jean Grey, for goodness sake.
Well, that's true.
Did you not get that from every
yeah,
other?
Yeah, I was. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
I thought it was fine. She wasn't like too cranky. Like she wasn't like overly cranky, but she was crankier than I would have liked for her to be. But you know, she's dealing with the Phoenix, so that's bound to bring out the crankiness. I was surprised that they had her get rescued by her male X-Men buddies in her first issue of her first book.
Yeah.
That seemed like a weird choice.
I agree.
She wasn't the damsel in distress for the whole book until the end when she gets bonked out, and then I guess, I mean, it's not so much that they rescue her, but it they kind of do.
They show up and they're all fussing over her and.
Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't cliffhangery. The Wrecking Crew's about to smush her. They rescue her, but it still kind of felt weird that in the first issue of her own book, she doesn't get to be the hero. I mean, she is. She defeats the Wrecking Crew, sort of. I guess they get away with the money.
They get away. She lost.
So she doesn't really. So I don't know. That was a weird choice.
She lost. She helped destroy a street. She wrecked a bunch of cars in a parking garage. They got away with the cash.
Mm-hmm. But
good luck getting that van off the top of that light pole.
But we see her helping people, and she's got a good heart and all that. So that's all to the good. There was just some weird story choices that I don't know that I would have included in a first issue.
Yeah.
But you know, that's okay. That's okay.
Each his own, right?
And I'm surprised he went right to the Phoenix. I mean, that seems like almost the obvious story choice. It almost would be like, okay, do something else with her, and then maybe second storyline or even third storyline when people are like, oh, come on, with Jean Grey, Phoenix, come on, you got to do it. And then he finally does it, but he went right there. It's almost like you're putting your big story possibility right up front. Where else can you? I mean, you got almost no other place to go with this character.
Mm-hmm.
Of known quantities. I mean, I guess there's, you know, given how little history we have on this character, he can rewrite her however he wants. I suppose.
Yeah. I'm wondering too if they kind of have to put their big storyline first because a lot of these new series don't tend to run particularly long.
Yeah.
So if you save the Phoenix story for like the second or third arc, it may not get to the second or third arc. So
may not make
catch their attention. Yeah. Catch their attention in the beginning, and then hope you got something to follow up.
No, that's a really good point. I mean, I guess I'm not thinking in terms of sales. I guess I'm just thinking in terms of, like, it's sort of like how the story choice of having her get bonked and knocked out in the first issue and not actually win.
Yeah.
Good points.
It makes me wonder if some of these, like the Iceman title, and that's going to be the older Bobby, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm wondering if those are like throw them against the wall titles. See if they stick, I guess.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
Okay.
They're not going the DC route of just rebooting known quantities. They're doing the Marvel thing, which is taking everything, throwing it out there. I mean, for goodness sake, they got a Scarlet Spider book out there right now.
Yeah, heard about that. That's interesting.
I think they've got 6 different Spider books out there right now. Yeah. And it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I forgot they're doing Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Booyah.
I don't think I read the latest one. Okay.
I will check out issue 2 simply because I would like to see what Hope is up to, and I think Quentin Quire is one of the best quote-unquote new characters in Marvel Comics in a long time.
Yeah, he's fun. He's fun.
And like I said, he's currently in Mighty Thor and in Generation X, so he's getting screen time out there.
Okay. I'll have to look at that because I've always been interested in the Phoenix Force. So.
The War of the Gods over in Mighty Thor.
Yeah.
The War of the Gods.
Yes, I know. George Pratt. No, different.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Don't mention that one.
It might be War of the Pantheons. I don't know. It's something.
Yeah.
It's a War of the International Peacekeeping. But anyhow, thank you for indulging on this. I appreciate it.
No, that's fine. I want to cover these new books and kind of see what you guys think. I don't know. I got this nostalgic streak when I heard they were all redoing these, and I've been picking up omnibuses and trades and things, and so it'll be interesting.
It's almost like you have time off instead of us.
I don't have time off. I'm just trying to keep sane.
Oh.
Comics are the only thing keeping me from going lulu. Cuckoo. Cuckoo. They're trying to kill me. It worked, I think. They're just, it's nuts. All right.
I got nothing else. I don't know about you guys.
No, I'm good.
Alrighty.
I'm going to... organize some folders.
Put a bow on it.
Yep.
Wrap it up.
I'm going to check out some of the ones I've missed so far. I don't think they're all out, though. No, they're not. June and in July is when Astonishing X-Men comes out.
Put a fork in this
month's away.
Okay, anyway. As always, you can send an email to podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. My nice radio voice there. That's pretty good. I like that. Okay. Anyway, you can join us on our Facebook page. I don't know what goes on there. I don't have time to check Facebook. Barely any at all. I don't know. Maybe I'll figure out something else. I got a couple ideas. And then you can send us comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And I know there's people out there listening because you 20-30 of you download this every week. So
I thought we're like 200 on my podcast app.
Really?
There are close to 300 subscribers just on that app. So
I'm just looking at what the people that there's usually 20 to 30 people a week that go to the actual website and download it from there. Because that's where
I don't know what the iTunes numbers are. I mean, could be actually into the high 3 digits.
Yeah,
or at least the mid 3 digits.
All right then, good. Somebody's listening.
All right.
That's it for this week. And we are out.